Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate. Kia ora and welcome to a Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, the Mercy Sisters, our programs, social justice, or about the church. Today, my visitor is Father Kevin Waldi. Father Kevin, a warm welcome and hi Remai to our radio program.
Thank you, and it's a delight to be with you here once again.
Father Kevin is a lecturer in Bible studies at Good Shepherd College, and he also has a regular column in the New Zealand Catholic, where he reflects on the readings of the following Sunday. The 15th of August is celebrated among Catholics as the feast day of the Assumption of Mary. I therefore thought I'd invite Father Kevin Waldi to come into the studio because he's a Marist father. And the Marist fathers were the first Catholic missionaries in Aotearoa, New Zealand, who came together with Bishop Pompalier to this country. Bishop Pompalier dedicated these lands to the feast of the Assumption of Mary. Father Waldi, could you please give us some background why Bishop Pompalier chose this feast as a national feast for New Zealand?
Well, I think when you're talking about Bishop Pompalier and the history of coming to this land, you have to realize that he began his priestly training and then was ordained in the Diocese of Lyon in France, southeast of France. And that's also where Father Jean-Claude Collin, the founder of the Marist Fathers, and his associates of the time who were the initial members of the society and had the idea to form this new body of preachers of the word, as it were, that they knew each other, and because the inspiration for the Marist Fathers was that of giving birth to the word as Mary did, in a sense, going out to the world, bringing mercy and peace to the peoples around, especially in France at the time. So in 1836 then, eventually we, the Society of Mary, were approved by Rome. And, of course, Bishop Pompalier, having imbibed, as it were, the Marist spirit and got to know things like that, he was very familiar with things Marian. And out of that came the expedition to the South Pacific, and in particular to New Zealand. And because of that, he then, on return trip to Rome, was gifted with an icon of Mary, now called the Pompalier Madonna. And it was a special icon going back a number of centuries, in actual fact. But it's an icon that really captures Mary assumed into heaven and sitting on the throne by her son. And so that icon was brought to New Zealand in those very early days. So in the 1840s, in fact, it was given by Pope Pius IX, and then Pompalier brought it to New Zealand, and it became sort of the emblem, if you like, of planting the Catholic faith in this land. And so gradually, over time, under the auspices and help and prayer of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, this land and its spiritual care took off under Pompalier. And he then used the Marist Fathers and our own brothers to help that mission. And so we would evangelize the nation, as it were, by trekking up and down the country. And I think fundamentally, therefore, there was this Marian spirit that he was very much used to from back in France, and then became part of a spirit of commitment to spreading the faith, but under the care and protection of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
So I never connected the Pompalier Madonna to the Assumption of Mary.
Yes, because the thing is that once you look at the Blessed Virgin, and we say Blessed Virgin, you know, the whole thing, we start to realize that everything that we're going to say about Mary is connected to her motherhood, the motherhood of the Son of God. And therefore, that puts her in a very special, blessed situation. And the logic is then, once you realize that she bore the Son of God to become a human being like us, then you have her in a special place, don't you? You have to then logically move on to declare certain things about her state. And so gradually then the church comes to recognize her special place, and it gives her various titles. And I think we know lots of those titles, Queen of Heaven or whatever. But this one in particular is Mary assumed body and soul into heaven, because she was, as the scriptural texts would have it, the Ark of the Covenant. She bore the Son within her womb. And therefore, she's something quite special, quite extraordinary, someone blessed by God in the most fantastic way, if you like, you know. And that then has great significance for a nation, I think, like New Zealand, because what she does is she represents ordinary humankind, but then she is the one who's cooperated with God's plan. And she then fulfills that plan with God's grace, and she cooperates, and then her son looks after her as well, so that when she comes to the point of death, what are you going to do? You've got to, in a sense, preserve the sacred vessel that bore the Son of God. And so therefore, there grows up a tradition of understanding the precious nature of Mary and assuming her body and soul into heaven. So she's not doing it herself. It's not a resurrection. It's an assumption. That is, she's taken up by the Godhead into the heavenly realm. And so therefore you get other things too, that once she's assumed body and soul into heaven, then she becomes the Queen of Heaven, doesn't she? And
yes.
There are lots of things that just naturally flow and are very much part of the Catholic tradition.
For those of you who have just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are on air every Friday morning at 8:40 a.m. on Planet FM 104.6. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. My visitor today is Father Kevin Waldie. Father Kevin has explained why the Feast of the Assumption of Our Lady was chosen to be the national feast day in New Zealand for the New Zealand Catholics. In my home region in Germany, the Feast of the Assumption, 15th of August, is a public holiday in all towns with a majority of Catholics in that region. It is a beautiful celebration, and it's usually followed by a procession. And in other countries in Europe, like France and Spain, the feast day is even a national holiday. Here in New Zealand, where it's the nation patron feast day, the feast is transferred to the closest Sunday. Therefore, we will celebrate it this year on the 16th of August. Has this always been the case in New Zealand?
No, the thing was that only in recent times were the holy days of obligation changed. And like most other countries, there were a number of these days throughout the year. But the way the church has advanced, and especially in a culture like New Zealand, with greater secularization, etc., it was deemed better to narrow down the days of obligation, and it chose Christmas Day as an obvious extra. And then, of course, when it was looking back, say in the 1990s, to its origins and to the beginnings with Bishop Pompalier and the first Marists that came as evangelizers, then it suddenly recaptured, in a sense, the special title of Mary assumed into heaven because of those early days and that patronage that came with the evangelization of New Zealand. So what happened was then that they decided that the other holy day of obligation should be a patronal feast, whereas before that, we had a patronal feast in conjunction with Australia, Mary Help of Christians. And that also comes from a similar period, say, in France, where there was papal recognition of this particular title. And so we inherited something of that, and especially when the first bishop that was appointed in this region was in Sydney, then we sort of got attached to Australia. But the idea is that then eventually Pompalier came, and then Bishop Viard, one of the early Marists, became the next bishop, and he then became the Bishop of Wellington, and Pompalier was the Bishop of Auckland. And so New Zealand was divided in that manner. Now, what we've got then, we've got this quite complicated scene of older church traditions and holy days of obligation, and then this modern context, especially within New Zealand. So they simplified the whole scene. And so one is Christmas Day, which is, you know, quite understandable why you might have that. And then the other one is our patronal feast. It recaptures something of the origins of the faith coming to this land and the seeds being sown and then the maturing of that church. So that's the way I would think of it, that we have a greater focus perhaps on the Sunday as the real holy day of obligation each week. And then you get a little intensification of that with two other dates that don't make it too much of a difficulty for observance, but they remind us of the major event of the incarnation, and then, of course, an associated idea of our patronal feast of Mary assumed into heaven. And I think that's rather a neat package, isn't it, really? It's a very clear focus, and that's what you need in the modern church. You need to be able to see the Catholic Church expressing itself, not in a utterly complicated way, but in this beautiful manner of seeking out our origins, but then going right back to the origins, as it were, of the Christian faith and of the Catholic Church.
And Mary has also a special place in the Cathedral of Auckland.
That's right. And this is the thing, that wherever you go in New Zealand, you'll find special shrines or statues to Our Lady under her various titles. And that's probably got a lot to do with this initial Marian outreach that came through the Society of Mary and Bishop Pompalier. So, you know, I think it's a rather beautiful thing that we in the far-flung parts of the world are remembered, or we have enshrined the fact that Mary, the Mother of God, is given a very special place in this land's heritage and in its future. And that's what the assumption's about, basically. It's about giving us a way to look forward and to hope with Mary, who was one of us, that we too one day will find our place in heaven and enjoy the peace and magnificence of the beatific vision.
Father Kevin, there are hundreds of churches worldwide dedicated to Our Lady of the Assumption. Why is this feast so important? Can you tell us more about the background of the feast itself?
That's right. Well, it has rather a complicated history. But the thing is that what you find is that we go back to the early church. We see the place that Mary has in the midst of the apostles and her special vocation. And then the church gets underway, and it meets certain difficulties along the way. And in particular, the Holy Land comes under different rule. And that more or less stymies the growth of what we might call piety or faith or reverence for the Blessed Virgin. And then eventually, once Jerusalem in particular is restored to a more stable existence, there grows up a place called the Dormition, which is today in the Church of the Door Mission, which is really the Latin word for sleeping. And that was one of the, that was the prior title, really, of Our Lady of the Assumption. And so in this church in Jerusalem, you have this special place where Mary was thought of as going to sleep. And that was the ancient way of talking about death, in actual fact. And when we look at the scriptures and in the New Testament, they often talk about a person dying, but in actual fact, they use the word to sleep.
We have that in German. We have a variety of sleep for a euphemism to die.
That's right. And so therefore, what grows up then is this reverence for the dormition of Our Lady in the East. And then about the 7th century, there'll be a change whereby Rome will recognize the same feast day, but then it will call it the Assumption, because it doesn't want to really think of Mary's death so much as the fact that she comes to a point in her life when she's fulfilled her mission on earth, and then she must be assumed body and soul into heaven.
So, that's
so
the
there's
difference.
No corruption. Those things that you might associate with death,
yeah,
which is where the body breaks down, and that, so that what you're doing is you're reverencing the body of the Mother of God in this very special way. And the consequence is that the Son of God would look after his mother and bring her to sit with him in heaven as a consequence of the resurrection. So the assumption or the dormition of Mary is really always related to the resurrection. The resurrection is the great Sunday feast. So therefore, when you think of the consequences of how Christ Jesus himself came into this world and through whom he came into the world, then you say, well, there has got to be a great sense of respect for the woman who gave birth to the Son of God. And so therefore the church then picks that up, and consequently then all these practices and reverential teaching about Mary take place. And it's like an evolving understanding. And one of the bizarre things you might say is, well, didn't the Assumption wasn't declared as a dogma of the church until 1950 by Pope Pius XII. But the thing is that it was an ancient belief, but there came a moment in the church's life when it was thought to be correct and right to declare this. And of course, what it's doing is it's saying, let's, as believers, as Catholics, set our sights not just on the present world that we live in, but on the world that comes as part of the afterlife, we call it. And that's a share in the resurrection. And then we've got the woman, who's the greatest woman on earth, there in heaven, who calls us forth. And we look up to her and to her Son seated in the heavenly realm. And I think that's the great thing. That's why I think New Zealand is very blessed to be under the patronal feast of Mary assumed into heaven, because it's about a nation that is struggling to be itself, but to be truly spiritual and elevated in God's eyes.
And full of hope.
Yeah, that's right. Because that's precisely it. It's that hope that you're given, that life can be a struggle, but there is something greater to look forward to. And that is the eternal life. You know, there's a very hard idea to get your mind around, but I think it is, it's one that's inspiring. And I think as soon as you look at the Blessed Virgin Mary, you think, oh, what a magnificent life and dedication and commitment. But then how we talk about her as the special vessel that brought the word of God into the world.
So, there's no reference in the Bible about the Assumption, is there?
No, that's right. And I think that's very interesting then, when you look at the readings set down for the feast day of the Assumption, you've got a selection that is very much associated with the victory over death. And in particular, the struggle that goes on in this present world. And we all experience it every day. You just need to look around the world. You need to see what happens in New Zealand and the presence of evil, or the presence of sin, we would say. That so humanity needs redeeming, and you've got to have something hopeful to help you rise above that, because sometimes we get sort of bogged down in the horror of things that people do to each other, or the type of dark atmosphere that sometimes surrounds us. And so therefore, you know, I think the scriptures then, so say for instance on the feast day you have the book of Revelation that is the woman standing on the moon, you know, and that sort of thing. It's a cosmic image, but there's a moment in the text when it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God. And we transfer that then to the Blessed Virgin as someone who has been taken care of by God, and she has a special place. And I think it's all about the kingdom of God coming about, because, you know, constantly in our prayer, etc., we pray the Lord's Prayer, and we are about not an earthly kingdom, but the heavenly kingdom. And then in the other texts of that feast day as well, so there's a text, second text is from 1 Corinthians, and that also is about Christ as the first fruits of those who have died. And then the consequence of that is those others who belong to him then follow. And I think that's beautiful, because then that's giving a place to Mary as naturally belonging to her son. And then we are invited to belong to the body of Christ, which is the church. And we are called then to be in that. And then just one little last thought comes from the gospel passage that's also on that day, which is the Magnificat. So when Mary goes up to visit Elizabeth, then Elizabeth says to her, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Now, I think that is something special in the gospel, that blessing that's there. And then when Mary actually speaks the Magnificat, she says, "Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed." And that word blessed is key for me. That sums it all up, that she is someone special. And right from the earliest scriptures of the New Testament, she is recognized as holding this very, very special place. And when you see the word blessed in the text, you know that it is praise of God, but it's also acknowledgement of God looking after us and looking after special people that he's chosen for a vocation to help fulfill the plan of God. And then we fit into that. So I think it's quite beautiful the way that we're incorporated into the plan of salvation, but then we're given a focus through someone like Elizabeth and Mary meeting, two mothers, you know, who are giving birth to children who are going to transform the world. And that's something glorious.
And you mentioned the rising and the ascension and assumption. And assumption is when Jesus took his mother into heaven.
Up into heaven, that's
and
right.
And ascension was an act of
his own action. And that's also something wonderful, I think, that is recorded at the end of Luke's Gospel and the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. And so you get a very keen sense of Jesus' power and authority, and that's the victory over death, in actual fact, that he rises from the dead, and then he ascends. And if in the ascension, that means that he's left the earth, and he's left a group of people on earth then to evangelize the world and to carry on his mission. And then having taken his mother up with him, we are part of the cycle of being evangelized and evangelizing others in order that we too may come to our real destiny, which is in the heavenly kingdom.
And that's why Mary represents so much hope.
That's right. She, you know, she's a real figure that we can look to. And she's gone through the agonies of life. You know, she saw her son suffer and die. She was that special person, though, that gave her heart and soul to God. And therefore, we follow in that pattern of life. She brought the word into the world, and that she gave the word as a gift to us. And I think as Marist fathers, we see ourselves not so much as Mary, but as people who are given the word, we are trained for the word, and then we go out to the world and we give birth to that word in the midst of the people of God. And I think that's a lovely thing to remember, and we're always inspired, therefore, by the life and the assumption of Mary.
So let's celebrate then the Assumption of Mary that is coming up. Thank you very much, Father Kevin, for all these explanations. I think that it's important that every now and then we talk about what it really means, because it's, if we are at church and we listen to the readings, now we will listen to it and from a different angle with a different knowledge. Thank you very much for this.
Thank you, Beata, and let's rejoice in the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yes, thank you. And you have the right tie, you have the blue of
the blue one today.
Oh, and for our listeners, what is coming up on the Mercy Spirituality Center? Well, on the 21st of August, we will have a congregational panel at our center. It's facilitated by Dame Lindsay Freya, and we'll have guests from different congregations sharing the background of their congregation and what they consider makes it special. Friday, 21st of August, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And on Wednesday, 9th of September, we will have a talk by Mary Betts with the title Rooted in the Lives of the Poor, Dorothy Day and the Catholic Worker, 9th of September, 10 a.m. to noon. And on Saturday, 12th of September, Sister Christina Cathro will facilitate a retreat day on the topic Exploring Our Inner Landscape. For all our events at the center, please register with us per phone at 09 for Auckland, 638-6238, or through our website, www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. For any further questions on these events or feedback on our Muffin Talks, please contact me. And if you like to come to any of our retreats, spiritual meditation, spiritual companioning, please have a look at our website, www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. Have a good Friday and a blessed week ahead, and a good feast day of the Assumption of Mary. And thank you again, Father Kevin.
Thank you.
Join with one.